This is CBS News Bay Area with Juliette Goodrich.
Hi, I'm Sarah Donchi. Juliette has the evening off. For the first time since that high-profile FBI raid, we're hearing from a representative of Oakland Mayor Sheng Tao. We were at her house on Maiden Lane all day today, and it was very quiet. We didn't see her there a day after federal agents searched her home. The mayor actually hasn't been seen publicly since at all. But today we learned that she retained a lawyer who says Tao will fully cooperate with the investigation. Wilson Walker spoke with him today.
I mean, outside of the official search warrant documents, she has no information about it.
Former prosecutor Tony Brass, now Oakland Mayor Sheng Tao's attorney, says she not only had no idea about the unfolding investigation, he says there is no evidence that she is part of it.
So it surprised me that they would go through the step of a search warrant on her home, because the optics make her vulnerable. It's a terrible position to be in.
And your determination yesterday seemed to be that this raid would not have happened had the FBI not had some type of, I don't know how to characterize actionable information. And you're saying this has happened?
No, that is an absolutely fair question. But what I didn't know when I gave the statement yesterday was that she had not been contacted inquiring about anything. It was my assumption that she would have been asked for information or documents or devices if they were needed, and that she must have refused that if they got a search warrant. So I'm quite surprised that the search warrant was the first she'd heard of this investigation.
People were calling for her recall before the final bullets were tallied. And the other thing I need to say is I'm no fan of her public safety policies. I think this was a political hit job. I think it was done strategically and tactically.
Also speaking out, longtime Oakland activist Kat Brooks, who pointed to the mayor's opposition, calling the raid part of a broader campaign against progressive politics.
I don't think that we can lose sight of the fact that this raid on Mayor Tao's house happened 2 days after the recall was announced. And what you know as a journalist and I know as a comms person is that whether there's a there or not, like if it could come out that she had nothing to do with nothing. Trying to get that stench off of her administration, and as, to be quite honest, the left as a whole in 3 months before a recall election happens is going to be nearly impossible.
So now that she has endured having a search warrant executed on her residence, it puts her in a very tough spot. The optics are bad, but the fact is that she is going to cooperate with the investigation, and she would have done that in the first place.
As for the mayor, Brass says she continues to perform her duties only away from home and city hall because of the media attention. We are told that she will speak publicly next week.
So the search of the mayor's home, as we've reported, was one of at least three raids across Oakland yesterday, including a home on Crest Court and an office building, on Embarcadero West. The FBI has not released any information on the investigation or said exactly what they were looking for with these raids. But we do know that both properties are tied to the politically connected Duong family that runs California Waste Solutions. We saw agents carting out several big boxes of evidence from that company's office located in a building that also houses the offices of the Vietnamese American Business Association. The group was part of a delegation led by Tao to a trip to Vietnam last year. In a statement, Calway Solutions told us they are confident investigators will find nothing wrong or unlawful. We will have all the latest developments in the FBI investigation on our website, kpix.com, and also streaming on the CBS News app. Oakland police have been busy. They are still searching for the suspects in a shooting that left more than a dozen people hurt at a Juneteenth celebration. It happened Wednesday on Grand Avenue, right near Lake Merritt. Police say thousands of people were celebrating in the street when suddenly an illegal sideshow took over. After that, they say multiple fights broke out and shots were fired. At least 16 people had to be taken to the hospital. It was a dark turn for an event that was supposed to be a moment of community celebration. We talked with one local organizer who's helping to connect survivors with support services, including therapy.
And so part of what we'd like to do is try to help people understand what's available and, one, meet them where they are, and then help expose them to other options to help heal past some of this trauma that they experience from just having to go through these things in the neighborhood.
And tomorrow, another Juneteenth event will take place along the shores of Lake Merritt, the fifth annual Lake Fest, an outdoor festival featuring music and food with large crowds expected. Organizers of that event say they are already stepping up security in anticipation, and Oakland police say they'll have a larger presence as well. A verdict was reached today in the state trial of David DePapp, the man charged with attacking Paul Pelosi with a hammer inside his home in San Francisco. Late this afternoon, the jury found him guilty on state charges of kidnapping, along with several other counts. He was previously sentenced to 30 years in prison after his conviction on federal charges related to the same attack. California approved a new rule today to protect indoor workers from extreme heat. When indoor temps hit 82 degrees, employers must provide cool places to take breaks. And there will be no working when temps hit 87 degrees, according to this rule. Employers must turn on the AC or change shifts to cooler times of the day. This rule could go into effect by August. Delays at SFO should improve after one of the four runways at the airport reopened today. It had been closed since January for upgrades. Airlines reduced flights due to the work, but it still led to an increase in delays anyway. Federal investigators are trying to figure out why a Southwest flight of a Boeing 737 plane came dangerously close to the ground this week. The flight from Vegas to Oklahoma City dropped to just 525 feet above the ground before climbing briefly and then safely landing. Another flight in April, also Southwest, and also a Boeing 737 dropped to just 400 feet above the ocean before it landed in Hawaii. This week, Congress interrogated the head of Boeing over a string of other safety mishaps.
This hearing is a moment of reckoning.
You don't recognize the Boeing that has airplanes falling out of the sky?
Our culture is far from perfect, but we are taking action and we are making progress.
Southwest tried to assure flyers this week with the statement that nothing is more important than the safety of customers and employees. The Stern Grove Festival is back in San Francisco this weekend, and this year's lineup for the beloved free concert series is one of the best. I've been gone too long. Tegan and Sarah are getting ready to kick off the 87th season of the Stern Grove Festival. The Canadian indie pop duo are part of the festival's most diverse lineups this year. We will be bringing you the Stern Grove concert series all summer long, live on PIX Plus, 44 Cable 12. Watch Tegan and Sarah and King Isis this Sunday, June 23rd. Where this came from is still a mystery, but a strange monolith that popped up outside Vegas has now been removed. The shiny reflective slab looks like similar monoliths that started mysteriously appearing around the world since about 2020. This one was spotted last weekend, but Las Vegas police quickly removed it because they feared that people might get lost in the desert heat trying to find it. Thanks for watching. The news continues at 8 on PIX Plus, 44 Cable 12. We'll see you right back here at 11.